What decisions did you have to make this week? I said, that is a decision. It is a decision to postpone a decision. It's a decision. Oh, so he has, what's that word? Not abdicated, but he has acquiesced to your decision. Okay. Well, that's fine as long as it's one of those decisions that affects more than one people. See, that's one thing we really have not talked about yet. I may do that next week. And that is the whole idea of how does whether a decision is an individual decision, or is there such a thing as a decision that's only an individual decision? Or is there a decision, you know, that affects our family, and then does that decision then, you know, how do we, because even though these things are all at play that we're talking about, whenever you make a decision for a group, it changes the dynamics a great deal, does it not? In fact, there are many of our brother and sister churches that is exactly where a lot of the problems in the congregation arise. And it's not because there's not a defined process. It's because of all these other things that we're talking about sometimes get lost. We move into making business-like decisions, or decisions based on majority rule all the time. Those kind of things can cause problems if these other things that we're talking about are not a part intentionally, determinedly a part of what the decision process is. So are your wheels turning? You thinking what in terms of that, we may talk about that dynamic next week. Today we're going to talk about, as we build, let's kind of start, John, with quick review and move on, because it seems like I don't do real good unless I have everything on the table in front of me. So again, we've got a decision that we have to make. We need to first of all look at things like the principles and the values and the examples that are biblical. God's spoken in this way. We cannot ignore the fact that God has spoken in this way, these ways. He said this. We've got to deal with that first. We can either be obedient or disobedient whenever we know that there is a principle, a value, or an example that is spoken clearly on the issue. Okay? So the decision is obedience or disobedience. But if we're going to obey and we want God's leadership, then those things many times are determined already. Secondly, we've got wise counsel, prayer, things like dreams, visions, impressions. God also speaks through that, but whenever He does, it's never going to disagree with what He's shown us in His principles, values, and examples. Sometimes there's decisions that don't have a clear direction. Which car do I buy? There's nothing in the Bible going to tell you which car to buy or which house to buy. Okay? In terms of, it's this house or this house. Okay, those kind of things aren't there. So there's other things that we've got to bring in. Now God can speak to us through other ways and other avenues, but that's not going to be how we're going to find out what the decision's got to be. Third thing is those internal factors, things like shape, submission to conformity to Christ, and kingdom priorities. Okay, were any of you gal types here whenever Morgan Paddock talked? Nope. For Pam, the nurse thing, the women's ministry thing. Morgan Paddock is a young woman. And I say young woman, she's still young. But whenever I first was here in Savannah, I was at Bull Street. She was one of the youth at Bull Street whenever I was there. And she has grown up, and she and her husband have decided that they're going to do what God told them to do. So they live in inner city Savannah. And they basically do ministry with the kids all around them in their neighborhood. They do after-school program. They, help the kids. They are a resource for these families. That's what they do. That's their ministry. So their shape, in other words, how God has made them, their personality, their skills, their abilities, their passions, are all a part of their decision. And their decision was, when it comes to where do you live? If you want to minister to these people, you don't live there. You live here. So part of their decision-making. Submission, conformity to Christ. In other words, how are you in your maturity? What's your relationship with God like? Are you I'll be obedient sometimes, or I will be obedient all the time kind of person? Are you getting there? those kind of things are involved. And then, are you able to have a kingdom priority? Morgan and her husband, they got a kingdom priority. They live where they live. They do what they do because their kingdom priority is that above comfort, safety, whatever you might else say could be a priority. Okay. So after we looked at the internal factors, the factors that had to do with us, we talked then about some external factors. External factors, things like time, causes, and consequences. Talked about that last week, where you know some decisions you don't have all the time in the world to make. You got to make it now, or you have a shorter period of time than you'd like. But whatever you know, time is a luxury. Okay. Two is causes. Why is this decision having to be made? What is it that's motivating? Okay. I have got no money. I need a job. I have one chance. I have one offer. What am I going to do? Time and need are defining what happens here. Then consequences. Considering not just the consequences for me, but are there other people who are involved in this decision who are going to also be brought along through the consequences of whatever choice is made? And thinking, how long are those consequences? Are there short-term consequences? Are there long-term? Is it both? How does the long-term become, how does the short-term become long? All those things are a part of this matrix that we're looking at, this filter that we're creating. So we get to today, or once we get through the internal and external factors, John, go to the next thing there. Okay, then to the process factors. So sometimes even the way we make the decision or the things that have to happen in order for something to be okay or not okay or acceptable, not acceptable, have to be considered. So things like, you've heard the words ends and means, right? When we talk about ends and means, what is it that you always hear whenever somebody's talking about ends and means? If you want to be an ethical decision maker. Either the ends justifies the means, which is problematic, or the ends have to be in keeping with means. So we're going to look at that. So there's an ends test, a means test, good versus God, I'm going to bring in here, and then pros and cons. I want to talk about those things today. Okay. So ends. In the process of making a decision, when we're making the decision, we have to know what ends are. So ends is that goal or that desired outcome. Okay? That's where we are. Ends is desired outcome. So the ends test is that the end or the goal cannot conflict with biblical principles and values. An example. Okay? So we're going back to our principles and we're saying, okay, the way that we would have to go about accomplishing this goal, or this goal itself has to be one that stands up, first of all, under God's revelation. Does that make sense? So, I may want this, but is this one of those things that God's already spoken on? Two, is it something that He's not spoken on, but my motive has been spoken? So we're kind of backtracking, we're evaluating that the end itself, that thing, is it a good thing or a God thing? Or is it either, or it could be a non-essential thing or a non, you know, something I don't need, okay? But I've got to test it, that thing that I want. Does that make sense? Any questions? So what's something that you saw as a goal or an end this week that you had to make a decision about? I had to make a decision. Was I going to get my grades done? So yesterday, I had to work on my grades all day long. I didn't do other things, okay? And then during the middle of the day, Luke comes in the morning and says, I want to go to the baseball field. Would you go to the baseball field with me this afternoon? Okay. What that means is then I have to do all this stuff and get to a point where I can quit so I can go hang out with Luke at the baseball field for a little while. And then whenever I come back, I can get back to whatever I need to do, but I've got to get to a certain point before. So the decision was I have to get this done now before I can go do that. It also meant that I didn't do some other things. So I didn't go to help Tyler and Meredith. Now, Luke did. So at least we had a Smith representative. But I couldn't go. I had other stuff that at this point I had to do, because I can't put that off. Okay, too many question marks in the future. So the goal, the goal or the end was to get my work done, so that I am a good employee. Number two, that I go to the baseball field so I can be a good daddy. And those are my priorities. Those are my goals. Neither one of those goals, if I test them, is the Bible going to tell me necessarily what to do. But when I weighed them, the principle was, yeah, I want to invest in my son as long as I've got him and as long as he wants me to. So that is somewhat biblical. Okay. And then being a good employee, doing it all to the glory of God, that's also, you could say, is a way to qualify the end, the other end. You see what I'm talking about whenever I'm talking about making decisions and having goals or ends that we have to evaluate. Okay. So the end is very important. If there's an end that does not pass that test, then again, I've come to a point where the decision gets spit out. Because the means, the way that what I would have to do in order, the goal that I want either does or doesn't match what God would have me do. And it's clear. Okay? What's going through your mind? What are you thinking? Tell me, is this helpful or is this just chitter chatter? Because I don't want to just be talking to be talking. I understand. And that's why I'm trying to backtrack a little bit to try to give you a little bit, at least a little bit of understanding kind of for where we've been. Go to the next thing, John. So we got means. The means are the path to get to that goal or that end. And we have to test the means as well. Because if we don't test the means, then sometimes we can do things that are not righteous in order to get what we think is a good end or a God end. We have to make sure that whatever would have to happen in order to get there meets the same standard of godliness, righteousness, revelation that would speak to it that the end does. The problem is there are people who are so passionate sometimes in our culture that even though they have an end that might be good, maybe even have fingerprints of God on it, they will decide to check out when it comes to testing the means that they need to use in order to get it. So one of the things that I have done this semester at Savannah State is I've had my students, they have to write, you know, I teach writing. So in trying to do that, I have them read some things about a theme, and the theme for this semester is social protest. So we read about a bunch of different social protests, everything from the French, the storming of the Bastille, all the way to Black Lives Matter, and giving them a panorama. I'm not talking about every social protest under the sun, but trying to give them from different parts of the world, letting them see that political speech or speech has been exercised in protest across the world in a lot of different contexts for different reasons. Well, one of the things that you end up having to evaluate when you do that is the kind of protest, whether it's violent protest or whether it's like Gandhi's, King's, civil disobedience and, nonviolent, acts, kind of thing. And so whenever they evaluate that, what they're looking at is they're talking a lot of times about the means by which they want to have their voice be heard. And the means are just as important as the end. The end, for instance, a lot of them end up wanting to write about civil rights movement, or they'll want to write about Gandhi, or they want to write about Mandela, which is fine with me. Okay. But what they'll do whenever they consider all that is they struggle with, some of them, the idea of violence versus nonviolence. And is violent protest more successful? Is it advantageous or is nonviolent? And why and all of that? Because what I'm in the back door, what they're having to do is evaluate the means. Is the means, worth it? Maybe you accomplish your goal, but is the means worth it? because it in itself has to be tested. Okay. So how we go about things, you know. Yeah. So there's a disagreement between me and somebody. How am I going to resolve the disagreement? Am I going to stand in front of them red-faced and scream and say things to them about them that maybe I shouldn't? Okay, that's a decision. To do that is a decision. Not to do that is a decision. To, you know, do something passive-aggressively is a decision in some way. All that has to do with means. And are those means matching up to the same standard of righteousness that I'm saying that those goals, that ends, are at? Does that make sense? Okay. So the smart thing, the thing that we really need wisdom and discernment about, is to know that variance or the difference between good and God in both the ends and the means. Because sometimes we can want something good. We can want a good goal. We can have a good means by which to get that goal. That doesn't mean it's God. But we know that God will never tell us to have a goal and then get there by ways that don't reflect His glory and His righteousness. So if the ends and the means don't line up with the revelation and the glory and the righteousness of God, then the decision should be made. Okay? Now this is all the easy stuff. This is really the easy stuff. All right. So let's reflect for just a minute on what a lot of people have used in order to make a decision. I would agree that is where we exercise faith. And the problem is a lot of times when we try to insert ourselves is where the means falls short when the goal is even a godly goal. If we have, yes, and when we have the gift of unlimited time, yes. The problem is sometimes we don't, and so we have to, we find ourselves in a situation of we need to know what God would have us to do yesterday. And that's where a lot of people live. But I'm human. It's not, the problem's not with Him, it's with me. Okay, it's the fact that I am the one who has not been Johnny on the spot. And I missed something. I missed that I put in more requests for money coming out of my bank account than I had in my bank account. I did it. I didn't see how the money was going because I'm human. Does that mean that God has not provided? There may be another way for me to deal with the situation than what I've done. Maybe I need to be paying certain things at certain times, or I need to be talking to people and saying, can I pay you this much today? See, that's on me. But the fact of the matter is, He may have already provided the way, and I just am not there. Because we go back to that internal filter stuff, the internal filter is not perfect. Even if we're doing the very best we can, we're still not perfect. That satisfy that? So a lot of times what you and I learned to do whenever we were younger was we had somebody say, well, why don't you put a chart together and you write down all the pros and all the cons. So whenever we do that, what is it that we're trying to accomplish when we do that? Okay, that could be true. And that has to do with motives. Okay, if we approach this that way, okay? But if we actually look at the list, let's say I were to come up with a list there of pros and cons for getting a job this summer. Pros, have more money. Pro, need more money. Have a job that I can meet more people and make more, you know, meet people here and there, see people that I might not normally see. Yes, learn new things. I mean, there's some things I could put it there on the pro column. Okay, the con is, okay, I'm tying up time. Okay, I won't be able to do some other things that I might want to do. Okay, have to deal with people. You know, I mean, new people that I don't know that don't know me. You know, I have to work with somebody, and sometimes those somebodies are not as pleasant as the somebodies that you're around. So, I mean, there's a lot of wild cards in there. So, pros and cons. So, I can look at that list in some different ways. What's one way I can look at that list? How am I going to make a decision? Once I've got my pros list and my cons list, what's one way I can look at that list and make a decision? Okay, the number of items in each side of the column, there's more pros than cons, therefore the pros win. Okay, that is one way. It's volume. What's another way? So significance. Okay, sometimes when we make a pro-con list, there is an item that has either a larger significance or importance that overshadows everything else that might be in any list on any other, even the same side. You know, all these other just small things, but this is huge, and because it's huge, it is the thing that overrules anything that might be on the other side of the column. And what Russell just gave us as an example is an excellent illustration of that. There's plenty of people who are working at that efficiency level. Okay, we'll find it's one that's working at a little bit better efficiency level. If it's just showing up, that's pretty low level, isn't it? So if somebody else is willing to show up and willing to do anything, it's better than you who is not here and not doing anything. Okay, John, go to the next one. All right, so here we got a couple of scenarios just for funsies. Now, before we go to the scenario, John, can you go back to the slide where we got all the items in the filter to this point? Okay, there we go. All right, so here are all the things. What we're saying is the little circles is our filter. It's our decision-making filter. And at any point in the filter, we could have a decision made depending on what the factors that are applying in the decision might be. Okay, so we know if there's a principle or a value or an example that's been revealed in Scripture, and it's clear and our decision bumps up against any one of those, the decision should already be made if we're going to be pleasing to God. Okay, so those two levels of the filter, I mean, that level of the filter, boom, it would come out. Okay. The second is the wise counsel, prayer, dreams, visions, impressions. They work in agreement with that first level. Okay. But if there's nothing, and then we go with that part, and we're asking for God to confirm it. We know that on this level, when we talk about revelation through counsel, prayer, dreams, visions, impressions, that there's always some type. We ask God for confirmation. We're not just hoping. Okay. That God will baptize our desires, wants, needs, whatever. Makes it past that. We're still not sure. That's not clear. Okay, it's not a red flag, but it's not clear. We don't have any leadership. And you guys have all faced decisions like that, where you've done this. You've said, okay, what's going on? What does the Bible say? Nothing there. Okay, is God telling me something somewhere else, through somebody else, through something I've... It's not there. Then we look at the internal thing. How has God made me? What's my personality? What are my desires? What kind of work do I enjoy doing? What are the things that I'm passionate about? What are my skills? What are my talents? Does that give me an indication of what God might be moving me to do in this decision? Does that play a role? Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. Okay. What about then... How obedient am I generally, or how concerned am I generally with making God happy and doing something that pleases Him? Because that has something to do with how I make this decision. Then, is this a decision that in some way lines up with a priority that God has shown me is a priority of His people, and that was a priority of Jesus? Okay, so I've gotten to that level. Now I've got to consider, how much time do I have? Chances are that a lot of the decisions that we don't even think about, you know, whenever I ask you about making decisions of the week, you don't think in terms of going through this filter, because it's, you just know it. You just do it. Okay? Motives and causes. So if we really do have some time, if we have the luxury of time, the gift of time, we can look at, okay, well, why do I want this goal? And then who's involved in this if this end is met, this goal is met? Those consequences, what are the things that can happen? We have the time to consider all that. And then the process factors that we're talking about today. Okay, can we accomplish this through a means that's okay? Is that goal or end okay according to what we know of God's character? Is it a matter of good versus God? Do I really know? Sometimes we don't. And then last is this pros cons thing that we're talking about. Okay? And how do we evaluate that? And how does that play a role in all of this? Okay? All right, so in the scenario, we're trying to use the filter to some degree. Okay? So your car's broke down. Money's tight and your credit is good, but not excellent. You need a car to get to work tomorrow. Call what now? Call who? Oh, yeah. Yes, yes, yes. The Westfields are our rent a car. Whenever they've got four, and whenever one of ours go down, they have been awesome. Oh, it's yeah. So, but that's one. But if you don't have that luxury, you know, if you don't, I mean, obviously, yes, depending on community. That is why community is so important, because it does change the dynamic of the decision. The urgency of the decision changes if you have that resource. So let's say you don't have that. What are you going to do? Got to keep your job. Broke down enough that it would cost more than the car is worth to fix. Yeah, well, let's say it would cost $1,500. The car's worth $6,000. Or $1,000. So you can deal with the urgency issue by you know, you might spend more than you want, but it's less than you could. And you're not behind the curve anymore trying to figure out what to do next. Right? Right. But then you have the whole the next question is, what kind of vehicle am I going to buy? Is it going to be new? Is it going to be used? Is it going to get good gas mileage? Is it going to be a particular shape, size, dimension, because this is what I have to do with it? You know, right. Well, I mean, we're at the point now where, see, whenever Luke goes to school, he'll be driving my car, the car that I bought. I bought it a year ago for me to drive now and to give to him to drive, because his truck will not make it back and forth to Milledgeville on a repeated basis. So he'll take the car, and that means then I have to get the truck a little bit nicer, but not put a lot of money in and sell it. And then somehow with him going to college this summer, because he's going this summer, I have to figure out where the money's going to come from to get another car that I will drive. That's not his truck, that I will probably sell. I'll probably, you know, not with it making 14, 15 miles a gallon and me going to Savannah State from Pooler, every day? No. So at least for the time being, this summer, it wouldn't be such a big deal, because whatever work I find to do this summer, I can probably do it in Pooler. That would be my hope. I can't do that. I mean, I would do it, but it would cost me more to get my house ready to sell than it would for me to, you know. You know, you got to remember, we've had two teenagers in the house, you know, and there's way too much to have to happen to that house before anybody would buy it. So, I mean, you know, we've been there, what, 17 years almost? 17 years in that house now, and we have had no additional paint jobs. And so, other than Luke's room, well, no, Luke's room's the same. Abby's, we did do a paint job. It is lime green with brown polka dots. It's now the man cave. Since Abby moved out, Luke has adopted it, and it is his man cave. He's got his gaming system, a TV are in that room now, and that is where he does his movies and his games and stuff. Yep, it's, you know, sits in a camp chair, and the old ottoman in there, and that's his place. Yeah. We won't talk about the mess, but we'll just. Okay, so this is the first scenario. Second scenario. Friend from church is having a get-together that you are planning to attend. You learn during the day that the spouse of a coworker has passed away, and the visitation is at the same time. You've been talking with this person about faith and community. Well, That's the issue. So what's the decision, Steph, since there's no decision? Okay. But you see, not everybody would look at it that way. Okay. See? Okay. What part of the filter does that would that spin out of for you? In other words, if you're running that decision through the filter, at what point in the filter does that pop out? Principles, values, examples? Yeah.
I'm talking to this, you know, hopefully you're cut 99 and 1.
I'm gonna make it a real conundrum and say that it would take too long to get to where the viewing is, being at the viewing and then getting back would mean you would probably only be there for a small period of time. Just make it hard. All right. Third scenario. Some friends come over to your house to help you move a sprinkler head a few feet away from a neighbor's fence. Soon after the work is complete, the water is turned off in the neighborhood and your neighbor with the fence is upset and accuses you of damaging his water line. What's the decision to be made? Okay, how you respond? Okay. And you know why I'm doing this with Brian, don't you? I went back into my house. I tried to turn my water on and I realized that all the water was off in the neighborhood. So I went back out and I said, "Sir, I know you're upset." I said, "You need to know the water is out in the neighborhood, the whole neighborhood." And I just kind of left it at that. He eventually fizzled out. It was not pretty. You know, not pretty. What are situations that you have to face or that you may be facing? So next week, we're going to talk about, and I'm going to try to do a little bit better job of finding ways to engage you all in the idea of whether it's a corporate or individual decision. How does that affect the process? Because you got corporate in terms of like corporate in a business or corporate in a church, and you got corporate in a family versus, you know, all those are kind of interesting things to talk about. We'll talk about that a little bit next week. You got any suggestions for things that we would want to talk about? Let me know. I'll write it down. I've been collecting things a lot lately in terms of the ideas. You know. So let's pray. Father, we want to do things that please you. Lord, we want to hear from you. We want to make sure that, Lord, we live in line with the direction and the trajectory you have for us. Lord, thank you that we can know your heart and that you do guide us. And Lord, help us whenever we do not feel like we know. Help us to trust you and have the right heart and the right motives, Lord, so that we know that you are with us. Thank you, Lord, that we have this access to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.